Grace and mercy and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." "Come on down, Lord, come on down. Tear open those heavens and come down and make the mountains shake. Kindle the fire, boil the water, make your enemies quake in their boots at the sound of your name. Do like you used to do back in the good old days, when you used to shake things up in a big old way. Show yourselves for who you are, and come down and save us." Don't you feel like that sometimes? Don't you feel sometimes like having your own Isaiah 64 moment, where you look to heaven and say, "Come on down, Lord, stir up a little trouble." It's Advent now, and in case you can't tell, here we are now in this season before the season. Although, judging by sales figures over this last weekend, it looks to be for the world like the season has already begun. But Advent is different from December madness. Advent is quiet. It's sober, watchful, expectant, hopeful, longing. And yet today in our text, the mood is urgent. The king is coming. Will you be ready? What do you need to do to get ready? Isaiah, the prophet, serves as our teacher for our Advent preparations. "You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways." There are echoes of "do this in remembrance of me" in that verse, aren't there? To work righteousness and to remember the Lord and his ways is a matter of faith. The one who believes, who trusts that he or she stands righteous before God for Christ's sake, is the one who does righteousness. And he is the one who remembers the Lord in his ways. Advent is really a celebration of three kinds of Advents, three types of comings of our Lord. It's a backward glance at his first Advent in humility, coming by way of the Virgin, the manger, and the cross. That's why we hear this Palm Sunday gospel again on our first Sunday in Advent. "This is the King who you are waiting for, the one who rode into Jerusalem atop a borrowed colt, whose throne was a cross and whose crown was made of thorns. This is the King who wages war on behalf of his people. Yes, even on behalf of his enemies. The world has never known such a king or any such leader. This one who literally lays down his life to save the world." As glorious and triumphant as that Palm Sunday Advent was, it was still an Advent of humility and weakness. The king had come to his city to die, to be crucified at the hands of the religious and political men. This king was willingly going to battle alone in order to conquer our sin by becoming our sin, to conquer our death by going into death. whatever we have to say about Jesus' last day advent and his coming again with glory to judge the living and the dead needs to be lensed through this advent. Jesus came to do justice to God's law, to do the righteousness of God for us, to establish the way of salvation that is through faith in him and not in the works of our own or the law, which do not and cannot work the righteousness of God. Isaiah admits as much and confesses it. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Even our most stellar good works, our greatest acts of charity and self-sacrifice, our most noble altruism, our greatest religious works, all of these are like a filthy, soiled garment, says the prophet. Here is the true heart of confession and contrition. It's not simply about feeling sorry for yourself, feeling bad for what you've done, or feeling guilty, or really about feeling anything at all. It's recognizing that everything you do is tainted with sin, so that even what appears to the eyes as a righteous deed is like a soiled garment when held under the light of God's law. We're like a fading leaf in fall, blown away by our iniquities. We're in the same boat with all of humanity in that no one naturally calls upon the name of the Lord. No one in and of themselves rises up to take hold of the Lord. Since the fall, it's simply not in us. To recognize our sin, to confess, it's really the preparation to Advent preparation, a prelude, if you will. It's also a plea, a cry for mercy, a renewed call of faith's trust in the mercy and promise of God. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not our iniquity forever. Isaiah teaches us to go to the mercy of God, the mercy of Christ over and against sin. Yes, we have inadequacies and sin beyond measure. Don't remember it, O Lord. Forgive us our iniquities and remember our sins no more, just as you have promised. We are your people. We are baptized. You have claimed us in your name. You have marked us as your own possession. Now do not forget us. God remembers us, but he chooses for Jesus' sake not to remember our sins. That's the deal, and it's the only deal that the Lord makes. Our sin for Jesus' righteousness. Jesus' ride into Jerusalem was not a victory lap. It wasn't the conquering king coming home in triumph after defeating his enemies on the battlefield. It wasn't a ceremonial parade. It was to fulfill all righteousness. The King of righteousness had come to do justice to sin once and for all. And while the crowd of disciples were correct in shouting Hosanna to the Son of David, they really didn't have much idea of what it meant or why he had come. They would by week's end, and it would take a bit longer for the importance of that to finally and really sink in. That was Jesus' first advent in humility, being humbled under the law to redeem humanity under the law. What sustains us is Jesus' second advent, the advent of his coming in hidden glory. This is the advent of his sacramental coming, by word, by sacrament. And sometimes we overlook this advent. Sometimes we think and act as though Jesus had come and then went away, and then someday he'll come again. And as we watch and we wait in Advent anticipation, we sometimes look to the world a lot like a child sitting about waiting for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. And the world laughs at the silliness of this waiting for Jesus' return. But the notion of return doesn't by itself quite do justice to Jesus' very real presence now. Yes, he has withdrawn his visible presence, but not in a way that makes him absent. In fact, he is more fully and completely with us now than he was with his first band of disciples. He is with us by his word and in all of its sacramental forms, in baptism, in the supper, in the spoken word of forgiveness given in his name. He is with us just as he promised to be, just as he promised, "I will be with you until the very end of the age." So Jesus really hasn't gone anywhere in going to heaven. Rather, he has returned to his former glory at the right hand of God in order that he might be all in all and fill all things in every way. That means the one we're waiting for is also the one who is already here. The kingdom we are waiting for is the kingdom that has already come. The glory that we're waiting for is the glory that is already here for you. Now in a humble and hidden way, but still very much here. That's how to understand our epistle this morning. The opening paragraphs of Paul's first letter to the Corinthian congregation. He says, "You are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." There were those in Corinth who thought that they were lacking the necessary spiritual gifts to survive. And there were those in Corinth who thought that they were overflowing with these gifts. And Paul assures them that they are not lacking anything. For where the word is preached, where the body and the blood of Christ are, where there is baptism, there is every spiritual gift needed to prepare the way of the Lord. You may not feel Advent ready all the time. You may not always feel very spiritual. Really, what most people in the world will call spiritual really is just a transcendent or numinous sense of some vague inner peace. Those things are not to be confused with the saving, justifying faith. Faith is trust in a promise of things to come. It is a certainty of things not yet seen. Advent is a time of faith. Looking into the darkness and seeing light. Looking at the end and seeing the beginnings of a new creation. Looking at the humility of water and human words and bread and wine. And seeing through faith the power of God to save you and sustain you until the end. Whether you feel it or not, you lack nothing, spiritually speaking. You have every spiritual gift you need because you have Christ, his baptism, his body and blood, His word prepared for you this day. And that day to come, that is the third advent. The coming of our Lord in great glory to judge the living and the dead. The day of resurrection and life. The day when faith is vindicated, proven true. Jesus gave a little preview of that day when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And he gives us a foretaste of the feast to come in his supper. There is a coming day where sin is no more, when death is finally and completely ended, when life reigns, when the lordship of Jesus is made visible to all, without exception. That's what Advent is really about. Not shopping days until Christmas, not preparing for the holidays, not cooking and baking and eating. And though we do all of those things, and that's good, there's nothing wrong with those things. There is something much more going on in this season. The day is coming. The light has dawned. Get ready. The one who came in humility and who comes by his word and sacrament, he will come again in glory. Get ready. The day is coming. God is faithful. By whom you were called in this fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is faithful. He will sustain you and keep you. Trust him. And now may he grant each of you a joyous and watchful Advent. Amen. Now may that peace of God which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.